May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Since June, we have been learning about the saints, these four saints, in fact, Catherine of Siena, Andrew the Apostle, Joseph of Nazareth, Florence Nightingale. And for the past four Sundays, we've been celebrating these amazing Christians. But drilling down into each of these stories, we see the same pattern hold true every time, that what makes them special is how they responded to a life situation that was right in front of them. Catherine of Siena faced a difficult family and a world full of terrible sickness. Yet we still honor her to this day because of how she responded to these circumstances with compassion and a determined pursuit of God in the midst of all that suffering. Andrew the Apostle lived during an extremely tough time for the people of Israel. He had many reasons to feel cynical, yet his heart was filled with hope. Even to this day, we honor Andrew because he was persistent in looking for God to be at work, even in those most difficult circumstances. And so on the day when Jesus called him, he was immediately ready to follow. Joseph of Nazareth, the husband of Mary, found himself facing a shocking, shameful life circumstance. But instead of responding in anger or violence, to which he was entitled, or even shame, Joseph responded instinctively with generosity and compassion. Instead of being shamed, Joseph allowed God to transform his life, and still to this day, we honor him for it as the stepfather of Jesus. Florence Nightingale, on the other hand, faced a stable, comfortable life and the knowledge that young men were dying at war in a far-off country without any care or comforts. And we honor her today because she made a choice to give up her comforts and to dedicate her life in unrelenting compassion and dedication to improve the care of those in hospital. There are countless other stories, countless other Christians who make choices to search for God and do good to others and pursue those sparks of hope despite what life throws at them. Countless stories of countless saints down through the ages, even to this day. Today, we honor them all for the risks that they took and the hard choices that they made and the way they lived out their faith in the face of incredible challenges. These are our saints, real people, just like us. They faced challenges just like us. We face challenges just like them, especially in the world right now. And just like them, we can make choices in the face of our challenges to search for God and do good to others and pursue the sparks of hope wherever we find them, even in the midst of the challenging times that we face now in the world. It all happens in how we make our choices. So, what will we decide? Let me tell you about some decisions that we face now that might remind us of the stories that we've heard. Here we are in the middle of a global pandemic. COVID-19 disproportionately affects our seniors. It disproportionately affects people of color and those living below the poverty line, and those working essential, often minimum wage jobs that they can't afford to quit. And it disproportionately is affecting our teachers and our healthcare workers and countless other sectors of the economy full of people for whom God cares deeply. And we know that the choices that we take now can once again slow the spread, or we can be part of letting COVID grow, and we stare into the face of this second wave of COVID with no guarantees of how many waves there might be. We face these choices all over again. As you know, we've been doing some construction at our home, which is why I've been, you know, giving you a tour of various backgrounds all across Western Canada. And what I've noticed is that at the beginning of construction 3 months ago, everyone was wearing a mask. And the moment that we walked in, people immediately put on their masks if they were working alone and they took them off. And what I've noticed over the past 2 weeks, even as our numbers are going up, people have forgotten to wear their masks. We walk in and people aren't wearing masks, even though they're working together. And people forget to put their masks on when we go in. And so all of us are getting tired, and we need to reinvest in making these decisions once again, and reinvest once again in figuring out what choices we face. The choices that we make now can once again be part of helping to slow the spread, can once again be part of helping to let COVID grow. So what choices will we make? Every time that we meet together in person, we risk transmitting the disease. We talk about things being safe, or that we're taking steps to make things safe. But there is no safe right now, not really. There is safer and less safe, but there is not safe. Not safe for our teachers, not safe for our elders, not safe for our loved ones of color, not safe for our frontline workers or our teachers. There is no safe. These are the facts, and we don't get to choose our facts. Instead, we get to choose how we will respond. Since the pandemic hit Calgary in March, we have been worshiping on Zoom instead of a rather more polished service that you could be enjoying right now on a live stream. At the end of the summer, we faced a choice. We could continue online, or we could switch to trying to worship in person. And we had to decide what was the more faithful choice for us as a community. Since that choice became available, the wardens and I have been exploring that choice every month that we meet for the 2 months ahead. We do it 2 months ahead so that we have some stability, some sense that if we decide to worship in person, we can tell you, then we can anticipate it, then we can all make the change together, since the pandemic has been a time when things change dramatically with very little notice. We thought, no, we'd like to give some stability and some notice when things are going to change. So every time we meet, we consider next month, in light of the pandemic, the way that it is now, what is the faithful choice for us to make on behalf of St. George's? And friends, every month that we do it, it is not easy to make this choice. Let me say that again. It is not easy to make this choice, but it never takes us long. Last month, we looked at the way this pandemic was going, and we thought 2 months ahead, and it did not take us long to make a decision about Christmas. But it was not an easy choice to make. We will continue worshiping online until at least the new year. All of our Christmas services will be on Zoom. Lessons and carols, the Christmas pageant, our longest night service that we're going to call our Blue Christmas service this year, since it seems very appropriate. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. They will all be online. It is not an easy decision to make. We also can't wait until we can be together in person again. We also can't wait to raise the roof singing our favorite songs and carols together in one voice, and to share the peace once again. I can't wait to hug you and to shake your hand. I can't wait to give each of you communion and to look into your eyes while I say those words. But we have made this hard choice for the good of the community. And we think of the good of the community in more ways than one. Because of the pandemic and because of the risk of spreading it amongst ourselves, obviously, but also because of the other harms that we risk doing to our wonderful community here if we worship together under these current guidelines. If we met together in person, we would have to learn to be colder with one another. We would have to learn, we would have to remember all the time that we pose a threat to each other. We would have to learn artificial, regimented new ways to be together. In order to make it possible, the wardens and I would have to sign a piece of paper saying that we would guarantee that there would be no socializing at all from the time people lined up socially distanced to enter the church, through the service, through the departure from the church, through another door, no socializing at all in the parking lot as you all got into your cars. That is a way of being community that I don't want us to practice. I don't want us to learn to be together that way if we can avoid it. I don't want us to practice treating one another as a danger. I believe that this would harm our quality of our community life together. As your rector, I believe that it would take us time to heal if we learned to treat one another that way in person. Worshiping together on Zoom is a huge compromise. I get it. But among the various different compromises that are available to us at this time, I prefer this compromise to all the other compromises available to us during the pandemic. Zoom gives us a place to be together as a community. We can hear one another's voices. We can see one another's faces unmarred by masks. It was weird at the ordination not to be able to see each other's faces because we've become accustomed to that freedom on Zoom to see one another. And it was not easier to read body language and expression in person than it is online. Turns out it's easier now that we've been practicing all these months. We can see one another's faces. We can be spontaneous and unpolished together. We can make mistakes together and laugh them off together. We can mentor and encourage, and yes, even to correct each other. Like when I say the book study is at 7:30 and Joan says, no, for the fourth time, it is at 7 o'clock. Rector, please stop giving people the wrong information. And then we can laugh together fondly as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is how a loving community behaves together. And this way of being a loving community is what we have been practicing this whole time. This is what we have been practicing. Here we are during a global pandemic, and the question for us is, how will we make our choices in the face of the circumstances that confront us? Well, we are St. George's, and as Cindy Bogia likes to say, we roll with these punches. We face these life circumstances with as much joy and faith and grace and compassion as possible, and we do it knowing that we are doing the most important thing that we can do right now to help slow the spread of COVID-19. That is the only thing that matters, to just slow it down until such time as there is a viable treatment or a viable vaccine, and then we can see what life looks like. But we do all these things knowing that this is the very best way for us to love one another and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we wait with eager longing for the tide to turn in hope. We wait for the day that we can be together in person in hope. like Andrew, who practiced his hope every day so that he was ready for the day that God met his hope in reality. Let us practice our hope like wise bridesmaids, strengthening it and preparing for the long term. Let us tend and cherish those precious memories of the beautiful times that we have shared. Let us be grateful that there have been so many of them. Let us be grateful for every day that we raise the roof in song. Let us be grateful for every day that we push the boundaries of our time limits at service with peace that just would not stop. Let us be grateful for every way in which St. George's, the quality of our community life together, has been so resilient over the years. Let us carefully cherish those memories. Let us keep them alive, tending the fire of those embers. And let us believe that there will come a day when we will share those beautiful experiences once again. And in the meantime, on Zoom, let us practice every week being a loving community, especially through the Christmas season to come. Let us see one another's faces. Let us hear one another's voices. Let us be spontaneous and unpolished together. I don't want a perfect Christmas Eve video that has no errors or no mistakes and looks beautiful and has no spontaneity and no interaction. Let us be spontaneous and unpolished together with the greatest intention to have beautiful, dignified worship at the same time. Let us make mistakes and laugh them off together. Let us mentor and encourage one another in love, because this, already here, this is our beautiful community. And these here are the life circumstances in which we practice our faith. It is a beautiful privilege to walk this hard road with you, my companions on the way, my St. George's family. I am so glad that we are together in this as a loving community. May God bless us all as we go forward. Amen.
Amen.